Sometimes the best thing on TV are the commercials, especially the ones that give us memorable slogans and jingles. I thought of a few of them. I wonder if you know what the product was that was being advertised. Well, the first one I thought of was this. Plop, plop. Fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Alka-Seltzer. Okay, you are old, aren't you? Well, what about this? When you care enough to send the very best. Hallmark. There you go. And who could forget this one? Where's the beef? Wendy's. Oh, there are lots and lots of others. And here's one that was extremely popular in the 1970s and 80s. It was for an investment firm. And the commercials would show people in everyday situations, like maybe they would be sitting around a table in a restaurant having a conversation, or maybe they would be walking through an airport terminal talking with one another, and eventually in the commercial one of them would say, well, my broker, E.F. Hutton, says, and then everything would freeze. And all the conversations would stop, and all the motion would stop, and people would lean in to hear what E.F. Hutton had to say. And the commercial would always end with this quote, this famous slogan, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. And through that commercial, the advertisers crowned E.F. Hutton the voice of authority. And the writer of the book of Hebrews did something very similar. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. In other words, when Jesus speaks, people should listen. His is the voice of authority. Now, one of the fascinating ways, I think, that God chose to speak to people in biblical days was in an audible voice. There are a number of good examples. For instance, Adam and Eve heard the voice of God as they were walking together in the garden. Moses heard the voice of God when he was at the burning bush. Gideon heard the voice of God through an angel when Gideon was on the threshing floor. People heard the voice of God, the audible voice of God at the baptism of Jesus, at the transfiguration of Jesus, and at the crucifixion of Jesus. There are other examples of those, but here's something that they all seem to have in common. The people who heard his voice often hesitated, big time. Or in some cases, they simply disobeyed him. For instance, we all know about Adam and Eve. They heard his voice and they disobeyed. We know the consequences. Now Moses heard his voice in the burning bush and he protested, "Send Aaron, send Aaron." Gideon said, "Give me a sign that this is really you." I could see myself in all of those. Have you ever wanted to hear God speak to you in an audible voice? Why? Well, if you were to dig very deeply into that question, you might discover that there's a feeling inside of us that if we could just hear his voice, an audible voice, it would increase our faith. And let's admit it, our faith always needs to grow. But also remember this. A whole nation of people heard his voice and saw him face to face in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, and yet they still did not believe. Is it possible that you would have been included among those people who did not believe if you had seen him and heard him face to face? It is possible. Yes, it's possible. We could have been some of those disbelievers. Does God speak in an audible voice today? My answer is yes, possibly. In other words, God can do anything God wants to do. And if he wants to speak in an audible voice to us today, he could do that. However, it is unlikely, based on the overwhelming testimony of believers throughout the centuries, and some would even say, well, he doesn't need to do that anymore. He has spoken through his son, Jesus Christ. He has spoken through his word, so we don't need to hear an audible voice. Oh, make no mistake. Some people do hear audible voices today, and some of them believe it is God's voice speaking to them. But it is likely, in many, if not most of those cases, that they are experiencing what doctors call auditory hallucinations. You see, people with schizophrenia hear voices. People who are taking certain kinds of drugs have been known to hear voices. People who have a significant trauma in their life, or people who are sleep deprived, or people who are extremely hungry have reported hearing voices. But are they actually hearing God's voice, or are they having an auditory hallucination? The Bible gives us a very clear answer about all of that. And it comes from the lips of the one who has all of the authority in the universe. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 4, verse 34, God is spirit. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. In other words, God can speak to us audibly, but he is primarily not in the business of speaking physical to physical. He is primarily in the business of speaking spirit to spirit. Spirit to spirit. If you want to hear God, you absolutely must make sure that your spirit is listening. I'm sure that you know that radio and television signals are all around us, 24/7, all the time. And when you turn on your radio or you turn on your television, you can hear them. But when you turn off your receiver, you cannot hear them, even though they're there. God is speaking all the time. But your receiver has to be in good working order, and it has to be turned on if you're going to hear him. So let me ask you this. Do you ever want to hear the spiritual voice of God guiding you? Of course you do. Just about every one of us here has thought at one time or another, or maybe actually said, if only God would tell me what to do, I would do it. Sure you would. Here's how it usually goes. Well, maybe we lay out a fleece, of some sort, and we say, well, if God does thus and so, at such a time, I will know that it's God who is speaking to me. I've done that. Have you done that? I've done it. And God did speak to me that way. Or maybe we fast from something. We fast from food or television or not chocolate. You wouldn't do that, would you? No, not chocolate. I could, but you or fast from TV or something of that, waiting to hear God's voice. And some of us have probably found a place of solitude, a quiet place, hoping that we will hear that still, small voice that we read about in the Bible. Or perhaps we seek advice from a friend or a spouse or a pastor. After all, pastors are supposed to know everything, right? That was a joke. We tend to plead, Lord, just talk to me. Tell me what you want me to do. Now the question, of course, is if God did speak to you, whether it's an audible voice or a spiritual voice, would you obey? Would you obey? Now hear this, I am not suggesting that you should not seek to know God's will for your life. I firmly believe that you should. And furthermore, I firmly believe that God can speak to you and answer you even in miraculous ways. He's done that for me. I'll bet he's done that for many of you. But here is a caution. You and I are more tempted to want to know more about what God wants us to do than what God wants us to be. Which is more important? God's will for your particular circumstances in your life or God's will for your character? In biblical days, the prevailing thought was that one had to do something in order to please God. And the doing was usually in the form of a sacrifice, like a burnt offering. But over and over in God's word, he said, wait a minute, doing that is not the most important thing to me. Here's some examples. 1 Samuel 15:22, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. Or this from Psalm 51, verse 16. Psalm 51, we just spent this Lenten season in that psalm. It says, Lord, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Here's one more. Micah 6, verse 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And there are others. Here's the point. Before you ask God to bless your actions, ask God to bless your heart. Before you ask him what he wants you to do, ask him what he wants you to be. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 1. Brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. Verse 3, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. Now, I can almost hear some people in this room thinking right now, oh, I already knew that. Yeah. I'll work on it. I've been working on it ever since I gave my life to Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. I'll continue to work on that. But what I need right now is some guidance on what I should do about my dilemma. Do you realize how that sounds to God? You will never have to lay out a fleece to know that God wants you to live a self-controlled, upright life right now. You will never have to fast in order to know that God wants you to be free of selfish ambition. You will never have to look into the heavens and hope to have some divine skywriting appear there to know that God wants you to repent of greed. You will never have to ask a friend or a spouse or a pastor if it is God's will for you to be slow to anger. You will never have to listen to another sermon to know that God wants you to be thankful. God has spoken. God continues to speak. And God has made all of that abundantly clear. He has spoken to you through His Word. He has spoken to you through His Holy Spirit. He has spoken to you through others. He has instilled in you a divine sense of right and wrong. God has instructed you. And if your receiver is in good working order and turned on, God is speaking to you right now. Right now. The question is, how do you know it's God? Here's a warning. It's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Testing the spirits is very wise. But think about this. Suppose you would ask God to speak to you, to give you guidance, and your receiver is in good working order, and it is turned on, and your spirit actually does hear a spiritual voice. Would you assume that that is God's voice? Or could it be from another source? Another channel, if you will. Jesus gave us the answer. It's in John 10. He said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. In the context of that passage, Jesus taught that the sheep know the voice of their shepherd, and they will follow that voice. They will follow that voice wherever it leads them. But they will not follow a stranger's voice. Isn't that an incredible thing? Instinctive to the animal. They will not follow a stranger's voice. So in order for you to know that it is God's voice speaking to you, brothers and sisters, you have to know His voice. You have to know His voice. You have to know Him intimately. Do you? Now, this may come as a surprise to some people, but just coming to church on Sundays is not enough for you to know God intimately. But I've been coming to church my whole life. My parents took me to Sunday school every Sunday, and they took me to the big church too, even when I was in grade school. So what? Did that make you a saint? But I memorized the catechism. Well, you memorized the multiplication table too. Did that make you a rocket scientist? How dare you say that to me? I have tithed ever since I left home. Well, that's obedience, and that's a good thing. But you cannot buy your way into his presence. Well, what does God require of me? To act justly. And to love mercy. And to walk humbly with your God. You can know God casually. You can admire his beautiful creation. But in order to walk with him, in order to know his ways, in order to recognize his voice, you have to spend lots of time with him. In the same way, you can love someone and even marry them, thinking that you know that person intimately. And then, after more time together, you discover new and more precious things about that loved one. You discover that you even know what they're thinking sometimes, even when no words are shared between you. And you can be in a crowd and they can call your name and you recognize their voice the same way you recognized your mother and your father's voices. You walked together through life and the result is a relationship. A relationship. If you want to have an intimate relationship with God, you cannot want it as much as he wants it with you. He wants to hear your voice even more than you want to hear his. He has fully shared himself with you in the form of Jesus Christ. And now he wants you to fully share yourself with him. So, just a closer walk with thee, grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for walking in this life with each of us and for establishing relationships with each of us. And Lord, as we search the depth of our soul, we realize that we can grow even more in our relationship with you. We know, Lord, in our minds that we need to be on our knees in your presence more often, more regularly, more sincerely. I pray that what we know in our minds, Lord, would reach our hearts and that we would spend more time listening to your voice so that we know it above all the other voices around us. So help us, Lord, to take the time that we need to be with you, to be with you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.